Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Racing Pod Blast with me, Tony Mack, and Ben Aiken from Narrowing the Field. We're off to Aintree this weekend, covering the Beecher Chase card. As usual, we'll have three races covered, including the Beecher Chase itself. And then we head off to Scotland to close the show out with our ever-popular football Trixie, top, middle and bottom. And the gap closed last weekend, apparently. Blimey. But racing first, as always, and it's the Boyle Sports Best Odds Guaranteed Chase from Aintree, due off at 12:55. First race for us, but it's going to be 1:30, isn't it, Ben? It's changed a little bit, but and you can start us off with that one. Welcome along, Ben.
Hey, Tony.
You're looking good on YouTube, by the way, Ben. Oh, we're not on there yet. Hang on. Okay.
No, not on there yet. I'll have to get dressed for that, mate. the 1:30 injury, it was 12:55. Now they've moved to 1:30. It's Boyle Sports Handicap Chase, a race that was won by Brave Siesca last season. He comes back to defend his crown from £1 lower mark this year. I've got a short list for this one of Brave Siesca, Warlord, Richmond Lake and Donna's Double. Now, Brave Siesca, as already mentioned, won the race last season, able to run this year off a £1 lower mark. He bombed out badly in the Holden Gold Cup last time out on seasonal return, but I'm more than happy to forgive that effort. He's got a terrible form on undulating and very undulating tracks. He's failed to even place in any of his seven starts on such tracks. So for me, that effort was easily explainable. The fact he was dropped £3 off that run is an added bonus. Indeed, maybe it was a deliberate ploy from Venetia Williams. Run him on a track configuration he hates, get his mark down in the process, then prime him for a repeat crack at this race. And he will meet with his prime conditions in this race, a flat or slightly undulating track, class 2 level or below, in December to January, where he is in an unbeaten 5 from 5. So absolutely see the appeal for Brave Siesca. A Warlord, he also ran in the Holden Gold Cup last time out. He finished a solid enough third. He was running from £5 out of the handicap that day. I don't really have him as a class 1 player, so he'll be happier back in a class 2 here. He'll also be running under his prime conditions, which are class 2 level or less, trips of 2 mile 4 or shorter, and October to February. He is 6 wins and 5 places from 12 starts under those conditions. Maybe a minor weary about him defying his mark of 1:44. He has been rated higher before, so I'm opening that just now. Richmond Lake, he's still unexposed over fences after only 5 starts. He's 1-3 of them. He should have more to come this season over the larger obstacles. If you look at him in chases and hurdles on left-handed tracks, class 2 level and below, fields of 12 or less, you find he has 6 wins, a 2nd and a 3rd from 8 starts. So he's another will have conditions to suit. And the other on my shortlist, Donna's Double. Now, he went close on seasonal debut at Ayr last month. He only lost out by a head and a head in 3rd. Famous Bridge was a neck behind him in 4th. He's obviously boosted the form since by winning a Class 2 at Haydock a couple of weeks ago. They tried Donna's Double over longer trips last season, but doesn't look a likely stayer over further than 2 mile 5, so smart move to keep him to these mid-distance trips. It's 3 wins in 2 places from 6 starts over trips shorter than 2 mile 5. I think the £2 rise for his run last mile is lenient enough. He's an interesting player here. They also fit a tongue tie for the first time. It's also worth noting that his trainer, Sandy Thompson, he's been very profitable to follow in December and January, especially at class 2 level and below on flat or slightly undulating tracks and with his runners that are returning off breaks of more than 10 days. Sandy Thompson, under those conditions, he's returned 60 winners and 56 placed horses from 240 runners. It's 25% win strike rate, 48% win and play strike rate. and over 325 points profit to Betfair SP. So, Sandy Thompson, he's one to keep a lookout for during the deep winter months. From that shortlist, I do like Braze Tieska. I've been waiting for him to appear since his last effort. I think he'll be primed for this. And Donoth Double, also of interest. He's around the 8-1 mark. I think he's one with more to offer this season over the correct trip. So Brave Siesca and Donoth Double for me. Tony, what have you got?
Yeah, Brave Siesca for me. I mean, you've gone through it there, Ben. Course and distance winner, second run after a wind up as well here for Venetia Williams, Charlie Deutsch. And also, I'll probably, if they remain the prices they are, 3-1, 7-2, Heldenham as well at the top of the market. Dan and Harry Skelton, winner of four of his last five starts, tipped up at Cheltenham in April, but ran well on seasonal debut to win a novice's hurdle at Wetherby. Yeah, looks a decent one. He was 4-6 favourite, albeit a 15 runner race, and a 4-6 winner winning by seven lengths was pretty impressive, albeit over hurdles. He's back over the larger obstacles tomorrow. So Heldenham and Brave Siesca as well for me, and at a bigger price, nothing to ask. Trainer Fergal O'Brien, they're in with some of the horses in a good frame of mind at the moment. Rich vein of form. He needs to improve on his seasonal debut at Chepstow back in October, but nothing to ask could go well at a big price tomorrow in at 1:30, the handicap chase over 2 miles, 4 furlongs. On to the 2:05, the Beecher Chase, Class 1 Premier Handicap over 3 mile, 2 furlong. Ben, what do you fancy in this?
Yeah, it's a decent race for race trends analysis in recent times. I've got a strong set of trends plugged in for the race. Following three would be a good starting point for listeners. And the last 12 winners of the Beecher all had 3-6 starts in the last 365 days, recorded their last win in a chase at a UK track, and ran over 3 miles or further at a UK track a last time out. Now, using those trends along with the others I've plugged in, I'll be looking at a short list for the Beecher Chase of Ashtown Lad, Under Supervision, Celeb Dalen, and Course Specialist Percussion. Ashtown Lad, only £2 higher than his win in the race last year. Dan Skelton has indicated this is his main target this season, a repeat crack at the Beecher. He has his prime conditions to shoot for, a left-handed track over 2 mile, 4 or further, October to December, and not at graded level. Under those conditions, he's 4 wins, a second, and a third from 6 starts. It's easy enough to ignore his run at Wincanton on seasonal debut last time. That would have been nothing more than a spin to get him primed for this Ashtown Lad. Under supervision, he's a horse I've long tried to work out. It might be a bit of a fruitless task. He could just be one of those types that Twissin Davies just keeps throwing at races, hoping something sticks. It won't stop me trying to figure him out, though. I think he might have suitable conditions to run under on Saturday. If you look at Under supervision, under the following conditions, a 3 mile, 2 or further, soft or heavy ground, and a mark of around 1.32 or less, and not at Cheltenham. I'm just not convinced he handles Cheltenham. Then he's 2 wins and a close second from 3 starts. Now that's both his career wins. He actually runs off 1.36 in the Beecher because he's out of the handicap. So maybe a shade higher than an absolute ideal, but he's only 7. So, you know, he could well defy the mark he's currently on. And he has placed off 1.36 previously. He's interesting at double figures. Twissin Davies has won the race 4 times before as well, so he can get one ready for the challenge. A Celeb Dalen, he completed over the fences in the top on last spring, so he's shown he handles the fences well enough. He was one I wasn't convinced was a 3-miler, to be honest. But given that he won over 3-mile-1 last time out by 16 lengths, I think I can probably put those thoughts to bed. That was a veteran's chase. He was £10 lower than he is here, and he had a £10 claimer on top that day. So, in a roundabout sort of way, he is £20 higher here, and it will be a different test than the veteran's chase. But he is half of my thoughts for this. He's 2 from 2 in December, won twice and placed once the 3 times he met with heavy ground. So, won't mind if he gets testing underfoot. So you have Celeb, Dalen, and niggling away in my head. And then you've got Percussion. Now, he doesn't completely fit the trends I mentioned because he warmed up over 2 mile 5 furlongs, but it's the same route he took to the race last year when he finished third in the Beecher. He warmed up then with a placed effort in a Grand Sefton. Did that again this year. He is 6 points higher this year, though, because he's another running from out of the handicap. He does love the fences. He's placed on all three starts over the national fences. And he's one of those he's always worth keeping in mind when he goes over them. But as a selection, I get the Ashtown lad appeal completely. I may end up playing him. But the prices, I think I'd be tempted by an each-way swing under supervision for Twiston Davies. Tony, what are you thinking?
Cliff Horse. Cliff Horse for Ben. Finally found a Cliff Horse.
I don't have many, but yes, probably. Probably him.
Brilliant. Good stuff. Good listen there, mate. I'm with you on two of them. Celebrity Dalen, distance winner, winner on seasonal debut at Aintree, as you've just explained. There's 16 lengths he won the Veterans Chase by, and I think he can hit the frame at a price of around 11 to 1 here. Ashdown lad is 11 to 2, pulled up in the Topham in April, winner of this race last year for £5 lower mark, it'll be a bit difficult this year, I think. A bit worried about his pulling up in the Topham in April, and certainly on seasonal debut in the Grade 3 Badger Beer Handicap Chase. Possibly Grade 3's possibly a little bit beyond him these days, but he does excel over the national fences, as he showed over course and distance 12 months ago. So Ashdown lad, I'm with you there, but agree with the skinny price. I would be hoping for a little bit more than a 5 to 1. And Shambard, who turns 12 in a couple of weeks. A little bit of a wayward dad here, I think, Ben. And it's nothing to do with the trainer, by the way. Everybody jumping on the Venetia Williams bandwagon. I just think it's solid and consistent. Won the Kim Muir at Cheltenham over a similar trip and ran well in defeat on seasonal debut at Cheltenham last month. So Shambard at a big price. Celebra Darlin at a decent each-way price. And Ashdown, if he touches six, there's a bit of a drift in the morning, or rather on Saturday morning, fingers crossed, we might get an each-way bit on Ashdown lad as well in the Beecher Handicap Chase off at 2:05. All right, they were spring forward to 3:15, the Boyle Sports Handicap Hurdle, Class 2 Handicap, over 2 miles and 4 furlongs, Ben. What do you reckon?
Yeah, decent enough race to close out the NT card with. My shortlist would be Basher's Reflection, Vicky Vale, and Largy Shark. Largy Shark. Basher's Reflection comes here off a career-best effort at Wetherby last time out, a race he won by almost 5 lengths. He's really kicked on since going handicapping last season. He's won 4 of his 7 handicap hurdle starts. He's placed on 2 of the others. His win last time, I suggest he's probably not done improving yet, Basher's Reflection. Vicky Vale also rates as an unexposed type. This is only our 8th hurdle run, only our 2nd in handicap company. Ran a decent race on seasonal debut in Canton last month. And that run came off the back of a windup. Skeletons do seem to be taking a more softly approach with their windup runners. They used to gun them for the win straight off a windup, but seem to be giving their windup horses a run back first, get the horse used to being able to breathe properly, then they gun it for the win on their second start. So I'd expect an improved run and probably a more forceful ride as well here. She was held up last time out, but she's usually bang on the pace or just off the pace. So I'd be expecting to see her closer to the front in this contest. I was taking a look at the pace maps on GG's Gold, and I think probably only Rafferty's Return is likely to be making the pace in this. So Harry Skelton should be able to get a decent slot near the front on Vicky Vale. I also have her as better than our current mark of 1-2-1. So no issues on that score, and she's definitely high on my list for this. And then Largy Shark, another on my short list, currently outsider of the field, ran twice over hurdles last season, won both of them, both over 2 miles, 3.5 furlongs, returned this season a handicap at Navan over 2 miles, finished 6th of 20. I suspect that was just a run to get him up and running for the season. Made all 3 of his seasonal debut runs at Navan, didn't win any of them. Signs are they just headed there for a spin, burn some rust off. Stuart Crawford also has some decent stats at UK tracks this season, with his hurdlers aged 5 to 7 and with those returning off breaks of 21 to 56 days. Six wins, three places from 14 runners with those types, returning almost 23 points profit. So he has been making his trips over here very worthwhile this season. Of that three, it'd be Vicky Vale that interests me the most. She's around 4-1 third favourite at the time of recording, so I expect a Vicky Vale to step on from a run last time out. What have you got, Tony?
Well, I'm not going with Sticky Vicky Vale. I have quite interesting that Stu Crawford has also Holmes St. George's in for Simon Manure and Isaac Swade as well. And Daryl Jacob looks like he's got the ride on that one. Whether he's had the choice or not remains to be seen. But I'm with you on Laggy Shark here, Ben. Around 20-1, £5 claimer Ben Bromley in the saddle as well. I just think he's a winner over a similar trip at Ayr 12 months ago. He needs to improve on seasonal debut, but which was in Native Island last month. But I think he's a bit big at 20-1. And Fingal's Hill, I'm sticking with, won a Class 2 soft ground handicap hurdle at Carlisle last month before disappointing 2 weeks ago at Haydock when I put him up as well. I think he's worth another chance at this level. Fingal's Hill also each way. And possibly, I'm not quite decided yet, but I've just penciled in Chance of Tune. I'm going to have a look at Chance of Tune for Nigel and Sam Twiston Davis here as post-time approaches. So Chance of Tune for the trainer, owned by the trainer as well, in the trainer's colours. Chance of Tune for the Twiston Davis is there. I've got it penciled in at the moment, and I'll be having a closer look as post-time comes closer, and that's the 3:15, the Ball Sports Handicap Hurdle, Class 2 Handicap, over 2 miles and 4 furlongs.
Oh, golly, what a boy!
The great thing about loving football is you cannot explain why you love it. It just happens. Chasing a ball round a park, wanting one team to win against the other.
El Mahani, Rayford, Webster. Oh, jeezy peeps, man.
Yes, the bit of the pod you've all been waiting for, top, middle and bottom before this week's, as usual. Ben, what's an update from last week, please?
Yes, last week, Tony.
Who?
Two winners, one non-runner. Plus 7.87 points.
Ooh, yeah.
Back in the game.
Back in.
Myself, one loser, two non-runners, minus 3 points. Overall totals now, me, plus 5.7. Tony, minus 8.59, but the gap has closed quite a bit. And now that one game that went ahead last week for me was Inverness against Raith. I had it down as a draw. Until the 94th minute, it was a draw. And then Raith went and scored a penalty. And instead of plus 7.5 points profit, I ended up with minus 3 points. But you heard it down as a win for Raith. So you went from a return of minus 2.17 to a profit of plus 7.87.
There you go.
The last kick of the game. Unbelievable. But I guess that's part of the reason we love sport and love betting on it.
Absolutely.
So swings and roundabouts. But yes, this week for me, I am going for top Arbroath to beat Morton at 3-2. Arbroath have a new manager, Jim McIntyre. So I'm going with the new manager bounce effect here. And the standard, the players have looked useless under the previous manager, but they suddenly turn into world beaters when a new manager comes on board. Impact. Arbroath unbeaten 13 against Morton. So Jim McIntyre couldn't have picked a better opening tie for his first game in charge. Morton being the only team below Arbroath in the league. So Arbroath for me in the top. Middle, Edinburgh City to beat Stirling at 21-20. Now, Edinburgh slowly but surely managed to get their season together after a terrible start. If they're going to survive in the league this season, it'll be their home form. It sees them through. Stirling, on the other hand, they've been struggling on the road. They've lost 6 of their 8 away games. They conceded 16 times. They've only scored 3. They've also lost their last 5 league matches. Conceded 13, scored twice. So Edinburgh for me in the middle. And at the bottom, Spartans and Forfort are draw at 5-2. Forfort are the league's draw specialists. They've drawn 7 of their 40 matches. They've kept things tight on the road. They scored just a six, but they've conceded only five. Only Stenhouse Muir have a tighter defensive record on the road. So it's going to be a draw for me in the bottom section, which gives my top, middle and bottom Arbroath, Edinburgh City and Spartans and Forfar to draw. Tony?
Yeah, three different ones here, Ben. Top, Airdrie to beat Dunfermline. I think that's away at Dunfermline. 9-5, that's going to be a close game. And middle, Cove away at Annan. Cove are 3 from 4, beaten in the last 4 away games. Won last 2. Annan, no wins in the last 4 home games. So Cove away at Annan. Three to four. Bottom, Peterhead away at Bonnyrigg Rovers, 13-10. Peterhead have won 3 of their last 4 away games. So, as you can see, I've been doing my homework this week. So, Airdrie to beat Dunfermline, Cove away at Annan at 3-4, and Peterhead away at Bonnyrigg Rose at 13-10. Many thanks for listening. Latest edition of the Racing Podcast. Very best luck with your betting this weekend. Remember, you can catch me on Shed Hot Radio weekdays between 6 a.m. and 9. Lots of good old music that you haven't heard for ages, and also some lovely up-to-date new releases, and also some Ben's 90s bangers as well, which have been some crackers of late. And you can catch Ben for more over on narrowingthefield.co.uk. That's narrowingthefield.co.uk. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all your kind words, and have a great weekend, everyone.